Blog Talk Radio.
Your host, Brandon Scher, and welcome to the New Heights Show on Education. The New Heights Educational Group Incorporation promotes literacy for children and adults by offering a range of educational support services. Such services include assisting families in the selection of schools, organization of educational activities, and acquisition of materials. We promote a healthy learning environment, and enrichment programs for families of preschool and school-aged children, including children with special needs. The New Heights Educational Group offers support to all students, whether in public schools, private schools, charter schools, or to homeschool students. In this show, we will be discussing the legacy of American poets, novelists, and short story writer, Miss Sylvia Plath. Beginning this week, my show will now air every Friday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. To learn more about our organization, visit us online at www.newheightseducation.org, or you may contact the New Heights Educational Group directly by calling 419-786-0247. You can also email us at newheightseducation@yahoo.com. Please remember to push follow us for updates on upcoming shows, or you can visit our website to see host bios and keep track of your favorite hosts and all of our shows. Here are the following announcements from the New Heights Educational Group for the week. A special thank you goes out to the following recent donors. A special thank you to Venkata Pulagartha from Canton, California, and Ali Barker from Sagrin Falls, Ohio, for their recent car donations. We received $232.88. We appreciate all of your support. A special thank you goes out to Thrivent Financial Services for its recent $25 donation. Xylophone donated from Ann Mitchell, made in New Zealand. Do you need tutoring? Have you visited our online classrooms? These are constantly being added to. If you need a tutor, please contact us directly. We have tutors that are waiting to work with your child. Our students normally show incredible growth in very short time spans. The New Heights Show on Education Reading Time is starting with a new host, Shannon Williamson. Shannon will share a new story with her audience each week. The stories will target elementary age students. This week's show will be recorded tomorrow, Saturday, on October 17th, and will be shared after that on our website and in our social media. Join her online and follow along while she reads this magical story. Help is needed in search of a building in Defiance, Ohio, for our nonprofit organization. We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization seeking usable space to operate a curricular library and administrative office. If you have a space in a commercial, industrial, or business area, or a residential property that you can donate to an organization for a tax-deductible certificate for the value of this space you are donating, please contact us via our website, www.newheightseducation.org. newheightseducation.org or email us at newheightseducation@yahoo.com how you or your business will benefit from the donation program. You can also donate funds to this project by visiting our website and clicking the GoFundMe or our donate button. Stay tuned for a new look coming to the New Heights website. Now back to today's show on Miss Sylvia Plath. To start off our show today, I would like to share a quote by Sylvia Plath with all of you. But life is long, and it is the long run that balances the short flare, passion. Sylvia Plath was one of the most dynamic and admired poets of the 20th century. By the time she took her life at the age of 30, Plath had already a following in the literary community. In the ensuing years, her work attracted the attention of a multitude of readers who saw in her singular verse an attempt to catalog despair, violent emotion, and obsession with death. In the New York Times Book Review, Joyce D. Carol Oates described Plath as one of the most celebrated and controversial of post-war poets writing in English. Intensely autobiographical, Plath's poems explore her own mental anguish, her troubled marriage to fellow poet Ted Hughes, her unresolved conflicts with her parents, and her own vision of herself. On the Word Socialist website, Margaret Rees observed that whether Plath wrote about nature or about the social restrictions on individuals, she stripped away the polite veneer. She let her writing express elemental forces and fears. In doing so, she laid bare the contradictions that tore apart appearance and hinted at some of the tensions hovering the American way of life in the post-war period. Oates put it more simply when she wrote that Plath's best-known poems, many of them written during the final turbulent weeks of her life, read as if they've been chiseled with a fine surgical instrument out of Arctic ice. But Sylvia Plath was definitely a very inspirational poet to all and was admired by many literary critics. Poet and novelist Sylvia Plath was born on October 27th of 1932 in Boston, Massachusetts. Her mother, Aurelia Schober, was a master's student at Boston University when she met Plath's father, Otto Plath, who was her professor. They were married in January of 1932. Otto taught both German and biology with a focus on apiology, the study of bees. In 1940, when Plath was 8 years old, her father died as a result of complications from diabetes. He had been a strict father, and both his authoritarian attitudes and his death drastically defined her relationships and her poems, most notably in her elegiac and infamous poem, Daddy. I would like to share the poem Daddy by Sylvia Plath with you at this time. Daddy by Sylvia Plath. You do not do, you do not do any more black shoe, in which I have lived like a foot for 30 years, poor and white, barely daring to breathe or chew. Daddy, I have had to kill you. You died before I had time. Marble heavy, a bag full of God. Ghastly statue, with one gray toe, big as a Frisco seal. And ahead in the freakish Atlantic, where it pours beam green over blue, in the waters off beautiful Nauset, pray to recover you, ach do. In the German tongue, in the Polish town, scraped flat by the roller of wars, wars, wars. But the name of the town is common. my Polack friend says there are a dozen or two, so I never could tell where you put your foot, your root. I never could talk to you. The tongue stuck in my jaw. It's stuck in a barbed wire snare. Itch, 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 itch. I could hardly speak. I thought every German was you. And the language obscene, engine, an engine, chuffing me off like a Jew. A Jew to Dachau, Auschwitz, Belsen. I began to talk like a Jew. I think I may well be a Jew. The snows of the Tyrol, the clear beer of Vienna, are not very pure or true. With my gypsy ancestress and my weird luck and my Tarek pack and my Tarek pack, I may be a bit of a Jew. I've always been scared of you with your Luftwaffe, your gobbledygoo, and your neat mustache, and your Orion eye, bright blue. Panzerman, Panzerman, oh you, not God, but a swastika, so black no sky could squeak through. Every woman adores a fascist, the boot in the face, the brute, brute heart, of a brute like you. You stand at the blackboard, Daddy, in the picture I have of you instead of your foot, but no less a devil for that, no, not any less the black man who bit my pretty right heart in two. I was 10 when they buried you. At 20, I tried to die and get back, back, back to you. I thought even the bones would do of the sack, and they stuck me together with glue. And then I knew what to do. I made a model of you, a man in black with a Mein Kampf look. And a love of the rack and the screw. And I said, I do. I do. So, Daddy, I'm finally through. Telephone's off at the root. The voices just can't worm through. If I've killed one man, I've killed two. The vampire who said he was you and drank my blood for a year, 7 years, if you want to know. Daddy, you can lie back now. There's a stake in your fat black heart, and the villagers never liked you. They are dancing and stamping on you. They always knew it was you. Daddy, Daddy, you bastard. I'm through. In this poem, the speaker, Sylvia Plath, creates a sort of a figurative image of her father, using many different metaphors to describe her relationship with him, which, as we can see in the poem, was very negative. There are instances when she compares him to a black shoe, a statue that stretches across the United States, a vampire. Yet, with this poem, the speaker gets her revenge at the end, claiming that she's killed both her father and the man who she made as a model of her father, her husband. This poem shows her struggle to declare that no matter how terrible her father was and how much he remains in her mind, she is now through with him. So this poem is definitely can be seen how much Sylvia Plath struggled with at a young age, especially in relationship to her late father. Sylvia Plath was a gifted and troubled poet, as can be seen in her poetry, known for her confessional style of work. Even in her youth, Plath was ambitiously driven to succeed. She kept a journal from the age of 11 and published her poems in regional magazines and newspapers. Her first national publication was in the Christian Science Monitor in 1950, just after graduating from high school. After publishing a number of works, Sylvia Plath won a scholarship to Smith College in 1950. While she was a student, Sylvia Plath spent time in New York City during the summer of 1953, working for Mademoiselle magazine as a guest editor. Soon after, Plath tried to kill herself by taking sleeping pills. She eventually recovered, having received treatment during a stay in a mental health facility. Plath returned to Smith and finished her degree in 1955. She was certainly an exceptional student, and despite her deep depression and suicide attempt, she managed to graduate summa cum laude in 1955. After graduation, Plath moved to Cambridge, England, on a Fulbright scholarship. In early 1956, she attended a party and met the English poet Ted Hughes. Shortly thereafter, the two were married on June 16th of 1956, just a few months after meeting one another. Plath returned to Massachusetts in 1957 and began studying with Robert Lowell. Her first collection of poems, Colossus, was published in 1960 in England, and 2 years later in the United States. She returned to England, where she gave birth to her children Frida and Nicholas in 1960 and 1962, respectively. In 1962, Ted Hughes left Plath for another woman. That winter, in a deep depression, Plath wrote most of the poems that would comprise her most famous book called Ariel. In 1963, Plath published a biographical novel, The Bell Jar, under the pseudonym Victoria Lucas. Then on February 11th of 1963, during one of the worst English winters on record, Plath wrote a note to her downstairs neighbor instructing him to call the doctor. Then she committed suicide using her gas oven. Plath's poetry is often associated with the conventional movement, and compared to the work of poets such as Lowell and fellow student Anne Sexton. Often her work is singled out for the intense coupling of its violent or disturbed imagery and its playful use of alliteration and rhyme. Although only Colossus was published while she was alive, Plath was a prolific poet, and in addition to Ariel, Hughes published 3 other volumes of her work, including the collected poems, which was the recipient of the 1982 Pulitzer Prize. She was the first poet to posthumously win a Pulitzer Prize. I would like to share yet another poem by Sylvia Plath with all of you from her volume, The Collected Poems. This poem is called Tulip by Sylvia Plath. The tulips are too excitable. It is winter here. Look how white everything is. How quiet. How snowed in. I am learning peacefulness, lying by myself quietly. As the light lies on these white walls, this bed, these hands, I am nobody. I have nothing to do with explosions. I have given my name and my day clothes up to nurses. And my history to the anesthetist and my body to surgeons. They have propped my head between the pillow and the sheet cuff, like an eye between 2 white lids that will not shut and pass. They are no trouble. They pass the way gulls pass inland in their white caps, doing things with their hands. one just the same as another. So it is impossible to tell how many there are. My body is a pebble to them. They tend it as water. Tends to the pebbles it must run over. Smoothing them gently, they bring me numbness and their bright needles. They bring me sleep. Now I have lost myself. I am sick of baggage. My patent leather overnight case, like a black pillbox. My husband and child smiling out of the family photo. Their smiles catch onto my skin. Little smiling hooks. I have let things slip. A 30-year-old cargo boat. Stubbornly hanging onto my name and address. They have swabbed me clear of my loving associations. Scared and bare on the green plastic pillow trolley. I watched my tea set, my bureaus of linen, my books sink out of sight, and the water went over my head. I am a nun now. I have never been so pure. I didn't want any flowers. I only wanted to lie with my hands turned up and be utterly empty. How free it is. You have no idea how free. The peacefulness is so big it dazes you. Few trinkets. It is what the dead close on. Finally, I imagine them shutting their mouths on it like a communion tablet. The tulips are too red in the first place. They hurt me. Even through the gift paper, I could hear them breathe lightly through their white swaddlings like an awful baby. Their redness talks to my wound. It corresponds. They are subtle. They seem to float, so they lay me down, upsetting me with their sudden tongues and their color. A dozen red lead sinkers around my neck. Nobody watched me before. Now I am watched. The tulips turn to me and the window behind me. Where once a day the light slowly widens and slowly thins. And I see myself, flat, ridiculous, a cut paper shadow between the eye of the sun and the eyes of the tulip. And I have no face. I have wanted to face myself. The vivid tulips eat my oxygen. Before they came, the air was calm enough. Coming and going, breath by breath, without any fuss, then the tulips filled it up like a loud noise. Now the air snags and eddies round them the way a river snags and eddies round a sunken rust-red engine. They concentrate my attention that was happy, playing and resting, without committing itself. The walls also seem to be warming themselves. Tulips should be behind bars, like dangerous animals. They're opening like the mouth of some great African cat. And I am aware of my heart. It opens and closes. It's full of red blooms out of sheer love of me. The water I taste is warm and salt, like the sea, and comes from a country far away as health. In this poem, the speaker seems to want to succumb to whiteness, not blackness. Still, this poem's themes of freedom and confinement, isolation and suffering are quite unsurprising given Plath's personal history as she dealt with depression and wanted to commit suicide. The speaker at times sounds like she's on the brink of being suicidal, which Sylvia Plath was. And there are definite breaks with reality throughout the poem. This is also another poem, much like her poem Daddy that I shared with you, that shows the difficulties in life that Sylvia Plath was faced with. She had a very difficult life in both a physical and an emotional sense. And she used poetry to show that and to express herself. This is a very beautiful poem and probably at the moment is my favorite poem. Sylvia Plath has definitely left a long-lasting legacy after her tragic death. Much to the dismay of some admirers of her work, Ted Hughes became her literary executor after her death. While there has been some speculation about how he handled her papers and her image, he did edit what is considered by many to her greatest work, Ariel. It featured several of her most well-known poems, including Daddy and Lady Lazarus. He continued to produce new collections of Plath's works. Sylvia Plath won the Pulitzer Prize in 1982 for collected poems. Many of the modern poets have cited Sylvia Plath as an inspiration for their works, and she is still a highly regarded and much studied poet to this day. As a beginner poet myself, I have read several of Sylvia Plath's works, and she's definitely one of my favorite poets. I absolutely love how she was able to express herself and put all her deepest emotions in her work, using writing as a way to battle with the challenges she was faced with in life. And that is truly what a real poet does. I would like to share a quote with you from Sylvia Plath before we end our program today. This is from the Unabridged Journals of Sylvia Plath. I can never read all the books I want. I can never be all the people I want and live all the lives I want. I can never train myself in all the skills I want. And why do I want? I want to live and feel all the shades and variations of mental and physical experience possible in my life. And I am horribly limited. Thank you to everyone for listening to today's program that was dedicated to poet Sylvia Plath. Tune in next week for an episode on the legacy of novelist and philosopher Ayn Rand. Don't forget that my show now airs at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as always, every Friday. Have a wonderful rest of the week, everyone, and I will see you all next time. Take care, guys.
Shoulders, you raise me up to more than I